Thank you. Okay, so I will talk about indirect detection of WIMPs, or rather indirect searches for WIMPs. And I decided that instead of giving some long detailed discussions about various particle physics models, I will focus on the actual detection prospects and do that in a simple supersymmetric framework. So the outline of my talk is that regarding WIMP candidates, I will focus directly on the neutralino in the minimal supersymmetric standard model. I will then go through ways to search indirectly for WIMPs, weakly interacting massive particles. I will then compare direct detection versus neutrino telescopes. And I will also spend some time going through some recent developments in the rates from the Earth, since we have a community here with lots of people searching for neutrinos from annihilation in the Earth. And at the end, I will compare with future searches. So there are many groups working on this in the world. Some years ago, we were mainly two big groups, but now there are many people around. So apologies to those that I don't show transparencies from. Instead, I will focus on the things that we have been doing, but other groups get similar results. So I will focus on the neutralino in the minimal supersymmetric standard model. And the neutralino is a linear combination of the superpartners of the B field, the W3 field, and the two of the Higgs fields. And the neutralino can be the lightest supersymmetric particle, the LSP, and if R parity is conserved, it is stable and thus a good dark matter candidate. And it's sometimes convenient to define the Gugino fraction, which is the sum of the squares of these two first components here. So if the Gugino fraction is large, it means that the neutralino is mainly composed of these fields here. So the calculational flowchart for this kind of phenomenological searches is that we have to select some model parameters, and in this case, model parameters in the MSSM. We calculate all the masses, couplings, etc., for these parameters. We check that the accelerator constraints are fulfilled. We calculate the relic density of these particles. We check if the relic density is cosmologically okay. And then we go on and calculate fluxes and rates, and we can start comparing stuff. And just to remind you, one of the best estimates today on the relic density comes from the combined WMAP and SDSS survey. So this is the central value, and I will indicate that in some of the plots. And the results that I will show today are based on calculations with this computer package, DarkSUSE. If you want to run it, you can download it from this page. And we have recently put the paper on the web describing the physics that go into this package. So how does the parameter space look like? Well, in the MSSM parameter space, we usually have seven parameters, and that's hard to view in some decent way. So this is a projection on the neutralino mass Gugino fraction plane, or rather Gugino fraction divided by 1 minus Gugino fraction. So up here, we have Gugino-like neutralinos. Down here, they are Higgsino-like, and in the middle, we have mixed. If you work, for example, in M-SUGRA kind of theories, you tend to be more in the top of this plot than in the bottom. So this just tells us that in this region here, the relic density is more or less okay with the cosmological constraints. Where we have the blue crosses here, that's roughly the WMAP constraints on the cold dark matter relic density. So in this plot, what are the different cuts and corners here? On the left, we have the LEP constraints, cutting away the lowest masses. This little hole here comes about from that the annihilation cross-section is too large, and then the relic density would be too small. Up in this range here, the annihilation cross-section is too small, and the relic density would be too large. And down here, it's just a matter of how large we allow some of the mass parameters to be. If we allow very large values, we could go down even further down here. So what are the different search strategies for WIMPs? Well, we can, of course, search for direct detection. And we can also do indirect searches for neutrinos from the Earth and various cosmic rays from the galactic halo, and neutrinos from the Sun, of course. And so there are many different ways to search for dark matter. And I will use the CDMS at Sudan to constrain our models from their direct detection limits. I will focus on the neutrinos from the Earth and the Sun. And when I compare with future searches, I will also look at the antideutrons from the galactic halo and the gamma rays from the galactic halo, since these are powerful to constrain models. So just a short summary of how this, what kind of physics that go in here. If we have annihilation of these particles in the halo, we can get gamma rays or neutrinos out. And these can, the gamma rays can be searched for with air-to-wrinkle telescopes or, for example, the GLAST satellite. But the signal depends very strongly on the halo profile. So the flux is proportional to the density squared integrated along the line of sight. So if you have a cuspid profile here, you get much larger fluxes. If you have annihilation in the halo to charge annihilation products, they will not go straight to us. Instead, they will diffuse. So we have to include some diffusion model. And usually this is done by having a cylindrical diffusion zone where you fix the diffusion parameters from studies of conventional cosmic rays, especially unstable isotopes. And current detectors for this are, for example, HEAT, CAPRISE, and BESS, and future detectors are AMS, PAMELA, or GAPS satellite. So, direct detection. We heard yesterday about the CDMS limits, and this is where the CDMS limits cuts into these model parameters that I showed earlier. So the direct detection experiments have really started to probe this parameter space. For neutralino capture in the sun and in the Earth, the idea is very simple. The neutralinos come in, they scatter in the sun, they accumulate in the center where they can produce neutrinos, and these neutrinos can produce a muon that are detected with neutrino telescopes. So even if this idea is rather simple and goes back originally to these people down here, there are many uncertainties involved. We need to know the density of WIMPs in the solar neighborhood. We need to know the velocity distribution to calculate the capture rate. We need to take into account neutrino interactions. We need to know the scattering rate, the annihilation rate, to be able to calculate the capture, or the, we need to know the scattering cross-section and annihilation cross-section to be able to calculate the capture rate and from that the annihilation rate. So roughly it goes like this, that capture in the sun occurs mostly in hydrogen, and it can occur via two different processes, either via spin-independent or spin-dependent scattering. And this is roughly a function which tells us this is roughly proportional to the capture rate, this function here. For capturing the Earth, the heavier elements are more important. So we capture mostly on iron, and that's the peak you see here. And then you have different resonance peaks for the various different elements in the Earth. But in the Earth, we have essentially only spin-independent scattering. So we're only sensitive to that one. And we have these resonance scatterings. So this capture rate calculation, it goes back to Pressen-Spergel in 85 that calculated capture in the sun. This was used by other people to calculate capture in the Earth. But Gould showed that this, using this was not really appropriate, so he refined these calculations to apply also for the Earth. Later, Gould realized that the Earth cannot capture efficiently from the halo, since the WIMPs will have gained too much speed from the gravitational attraction of the sun. So it's very inefficient to capture these WIMPs. So at this point, it was very pessimistic. But later, he realized that WIMPs will diffuse around in the solar system due to gravitational diffusion. So they will come by one planet and get gravitationally scattered and will be bound to the solar system. And then essentially based on Liouville's theorem, you can show that the phase-space density in the Earth will be roughly the same as in free space. So why is this important? Well, it's really important just for kinematical reasons to have the low velocity WIMPs, because these are the ones that are easily captured. So in this plot here, we show that if you have some cutoff velocity, let's say you have a cutoff velocity of 10 kilometers per second, but you have no WIMPs below that velocity, you will only be able to capture WIMPs up to this mass. About that mass, it's no way you can do it. So it's very important to understand the low velocity details of this velocity distribution. So the gravitational scattering of one planet causes diffusion on a sphere of constant velocity with respect to that planet, since this is elastic scattering. But when seen from another planet's frame, this will look as if the velocity has changed. So these curves here indicate spheres of constant velocity with respect to Venus. So these are, if a WIMP comes by Venus and gets gravitationally scattered, it can move along these lines here. And then on this plot here is shown the speed with respect to the Earth. And in this point here, these ones here are WIMPs that move along in the same direction as the Earth. So this solid curve here that indicates WIMPs that are bound in the solar system or unbound in the solar system. So if a WIMP come by here from the halo, it can get gravitationally scattered from Venus and move in to bound orbits. And this was shown by Gould that the net effect of this is that mainly Venus and Jupiter will diffuse down to low velocities, and the velocity distribution at Earth is as in free space, more or less. But there are problems with this. In 1994, Farinella and collaborators made simulations of asteroids thrown out to the asteroid belt, and they realized that the time scale for these to be thrown into the sun is very short. And this was, in our community, unknown for a long time. But in 2001, Gould and Dallam realized that if Farinella's results also hold for these WIMPs that have diffused into the solar system, the bound WIMPs in the solar system may be depleted by actually being captured by the sun before they are able to be captured by the Earth. So I did, together with a student, a simulation of this to try to find out what really happens in this case. And the end result is the following, that if you include all of these gravitational diffusion and you neglect solar capture, we confirm Gould's results by these numerical simulations. So this uppermost curve here, that's the Gaussian approximation, the usual approximation, assuming that the velocity that Earth captures as if in free space. And this red dashed curve is what we get from numerical simulations. So we get roughly the same, which means that Gould's arguments hold true. But if you include solar capture, you will actually deplete some of this orbit. So then you get this blue curve. And it might not seem like a big difference here, but it's actually about one order of magnitude. And this will severely affect the capture rates in the Earth. So the capture rate, if you use the Gaussian approximation that most people do, you get the capture rate that follows this upper gray curve here. If you include this new estimate of the velocity distribution at the Earth, you get this blue curve here. So it's up to almost an order of magnitude suppression at higher masses. But we don't measure the capture rate directly. Neutrino searches from the sun and the Earth are sensitive to the annihilation rates, because that sets the scale. And the annihilation rate is proportional to the capture rate times the Tannian hyperbolicus of some times here. And if annihilation and capture is not in equilibrium, we will get a suppression that is even larger. So then we can get up to two orders of magnitude suppression of the annihilation rates, and thus the fluxes. So the fluxes that we get are the following, that if you don't include this, these are our predicted fluxes. If you include these effects of solar capture, we get much lower expected fluxes. And these are the curves that were shown yesterday with the limits of current neutrino telescopes. And this curve down here is what you can expect from future ice cube in some optimistic scenarios. For the sun, on the other hand, it looks a bit different. So from the sun, since we capture also from spin-dependent scattering cross-sections, we can get, first of all, we can get larger fluxes, and we are not depleted due to this effect. We can also notice in this plot that the green points here, those are the points that are excluded by CDMS, and the other colors are not excluded by CDMS. So here we have a larger complementarity due to this spin-dependent scattering in the sun. We just have to remember, though, that we really sample different parts of the velocity distribution in these cases, since capture is sensitive to the low velocity part and direct detection to the high velocity part. So just quickly go through the future. So for the future searches, this is what you can expect if you include a Genius or Crest-like direct detection limit. They will exclude these green points here from the Earth and the green points here from the sun. And if you compare this on plotting what various searches can do on this projection of the parameter space, we get the following signatures. The direct detection will be able to probe essentially this part here. The green point, they will see all of the models here in the blue, and they will be able to see some of the models. The Earth rates will see some of the models here, and for the sun, all of the models here and some of the models here. Antideuterons that can be produced from annihilation in the halo are mainly sensitive to this region here. Gamma rays that can be produced from annihilation to gamma-gamma and z-gamma are mainly sensitive to this region here. And if we put all of this together, we get that these parts of the parameter space can, in optimistic scenarios, be probed by future searches. So we really have a large complementarity between different methods. So conclusion, the detection prospects of neutralinos are reasonably good. For standard halo models, direct detection seems more promising than neutrino flux from the Earth, especially after including the depletion of WIMPs due to solar capture. The neutrino flux from the sun is complementary to direct detection due to spin-dependent capture. And searching for anti-neutrons also seems promising. Thank you.
So thank you very much for this very interesting summary. Are there any questions? Over there.
Can you elaborate a little bit about the anti-deuterium?
On the anti-deuterium? Yes. On this one. Okay, so the idea here is that if you annihilate in the halo, you can produce quark jets with antiprotons and antineutrons, and then these can combine to anti-deuterium. And this was suggested by Donato Fornengo and Salati in 2000. And one should remember that this is a little bit uncertain, because this is not known what the production yields are here. So it's because it's not been tested at the lab measurements. But to search for these things, you can either do it with AMS or with this proposed satellite that's called GAPS. It's proposed by Mori et al., which uses capture on, for example, argon or neon, and then you get exotic atoms with a specific X-ray signature which you search for.
Any other last question? If not, yes.
So, would you say a few words about galactic center searches? Galactic center searches.
Oh, galactic center searches for neutrinos. Galactic center searches for neutrinos is very sensitive on the exact details at the galactic center. You cannot, if you just have an Navarro-Frank white profile or even a Mohr profile, you typically don't get enough neutrino fluxes. But if you get enhancements from a black hole at the center, then you can get enough fluxes. But probably these fluxes would be excluded by searches for synchrotron radiation. But at the current moment, there is a slight discrepancy between different estimates on this. I think it's uncertain at the moment.
So thank you again.